Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are finishing up the last day of going through the first 8 or 9 verses of Romans chapter 8, and we've gotten through 4 verses because this is such a beautiful section of scripture. It's building on Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7, where Paul's talking about the role of the law, and now we consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ because what God has done for us, how he set us free, and we were memorizing that passage, the law of the spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death, that each and every one of us, as we wake up today, no matter where we are, we live, no matter how frustrating our circumstances are, no matter how discouraged we are, you have a supernatural power that lives in you, the power of the very life of Christ, that gives you power over the enemy, that gives you victory in your life. And there's a spirit of astonishment and gratitude that God wants us to live in and to anchor ourselves in, of saying, look at what God has done for me. Look at what God has done for me. Look at who I am in Christ. What he's done is amazing. It's beautiful. He's condemned sin in the flesh so that I don't have to be condemned. And if I had to fulfill the just requirement of the law for myself, my end would be death. My destiny would be death because the law of sin and death reigns over me without Jesus. That's the law that's at work in the members of my body. But Christ has come and he set me free through my baptism. That's why it's so important to get back to these texts. And I think something that it shows, friends, that we've talked about on the show, and I want to get to this point here before we pray and read, is how much, when we look at this scripture and over the last week, how much are we actually talking about ourselves? How much have we actually been talking about what we do, our role in this, how good we are, how much we should try, all of this different kind of stuff, even looking at our own brokenness and sitting there and staring at it? How much have we really talked about ourselves? Not that much. We're mentioned here because we are actors in the story. But what I love about this and why it roots us is we are so encouraged when we read it because it's all about Jesus and it's all about what God has done. And there's a way that we become so accustomed to reading the scriptures and to searching not for Jesus, but searching for ourselves. Where am I? How does this help me? How does this feed me? All this kind of stuff. But when we just look for Jesus and when we're marveling at what he's done and taking the text, oh my gosh, this is amazing. What is God doing? What is God saying? What has Jesus done? Yes, what has Jesus done for me? But the focus is still on him. It encourages us so much more because we're taking our eyes off of ourselves, and scripture has a meaning for us every single time. There's something that instructs us every single time, some takeaway for our life every single time, something for us to put in the toolbox, but that is a secondary cause. We are in this book, but that is secondary. The primary is the exaltation and the expression of what God has done in the person of Christ throughout history. And as we read that, and as we exalt that, and as we look for that, and as we hunger for that, we will hunger for it more. And many of us, in my own life, I'm much happier when I'm not hungering for myself, when I'm not looking for myself, when I'm not looking to get satisfied or fulfilled or all whatever it is, all this different kind of stuff. When I'm not hungering for myself, I am much more fulfilled when I'm looking to Jesus, when I'm hungering for him. And the more that I hunger for him, the more I will hunger for him. The more I'm satisfied by him, the more I feed on him, the more I look for him, the more I will look for him, the more I will see him. So let's pray and let's get back and let's continue to look for Jesus here and how he sets us free. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day and we thank you for this week of being in Romans 8 and how you've spoken to us, how you've spoken to us so deeply. How you've come to us, how you've revealed yourself to us through your word. We thank you, Lord, For when we look for you, we find you. When we seek, when we knock, you open up the door, you answer, and you show us yourself. And we ask that you would do that in a deeper way today, that we wouldn't look for ourselves, but we would look for you, that we would be able to submit to you in full and complete obedience. And we ask all this in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, this is our last time this week reading this big chunk, Romans 8, 1 through 9. And we're going to try to get through today as many of those last verses as we can in our discussion with the few minutes that we have together. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God really dwells in you. So our last time reading it this week, but I encourage you to not make it your last time, to go in there and to read it and to make your own pathway with it. And we've made an amazing pathway with the Holy Spirit through it this week. And we've ended on that God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending his own Son in the likeness of human flesh so that sin could be condemned in him. Why? So that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. So we talked about that yesterday, that now in each and every one of us, we don't have that judgment hanging over our head. If we are in Christ Jesus, that yes, we need to repent. Yes, we need to go to confession. Yes, we need to continue to walk in a life with Christ. But that just if we're doing that, the just judgment of the law in us has been fulfilled. And then I love it says, for who walk according not to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So now we have to do something. It's not about what we do, but we do have to do something in order to cooperate. And it says the just judgment of the law is fulfilled for those who walk in the Spirit. And so we have a choice to make. Are we walking in the Spirit? Yes, we're baptized, but are we living in that Spirit of God that dwells in us? Because we can walk according to the Spirit, friends, but we can also walk according to the flesh. So here's the question. How are we living? Are we living according to the Spirit or according to the flesh? Because God, right, he does not condemn us. He gives us this new law, the Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus. And now we can be controlled by the Spirit of God. And the expression of living life in the Spirit is obedience. God loves obedience. And Jesus even shows us this. In John chapter 14, he says, I do as my Father commands me. Why? So the whole world may know that I love the Father, that Jesus came in obedience to the Father, and obedience is God's love language. So how do we walk in the Spirit? We live in obedience to God. How much do I think each day? Am I living in submission and obedience to God? Because then I won't be walking in the flesh, but walking according to the Spirit. Continues on, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So here's the thing. You say, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the flesh? That's so nebulous. What does it mean? How you walk, Paul's saying, is determined what your mind is set on. It says those who live according to the flesh, those who walk according to the flesh, those whose behavior is in a particular way and contrary to the obedience that God is calling us to, set their minds on the things of the flesh. So their minds are rooted in the things of the flesh, worldly passions, money, power, lust, passions, attention, fame, fortune, all of these different things. And even in a particular way, because of our phones, friends, and because going on social media, seeing what other people have, all of these different things, getting really into worldly things, even being too attached to like shopping or honestly, like girls, women taking pictures that like look good or whatever, like, or having the perfect outfit or whatever, or guys, what kind of car you drive or how much money you make, that it's not a bad thing to have these. But is our mind set on the flesh? What are we going for? I noticed I've been really bad at this lately because I've been traveling. But one of my things in the new year is I'm trying to take more time in the morning where I'm not on my phone. And so I'll get up and I'll do a bunch of things and I'll try not to pick up my phone for the first part of the morning, which means I'm delaying going on social media. And I find the days that I'm going on social media later in the day and not first thing in the morning, I actually can hear God better. I even feel in my emotions more connected to Him. I'm more alert. My mind and my heart doesn't feel so fleshy because I'm not being inundated with the things of the world. But when I'm not doing that and I'm getting on my phone, and even when I'm not going on social media, but I'm like answering all of these emails right away and I'm just like getting in the world, and I'm like, oh, who needs me and how can I respond already? It's like this fleshiness, and then it sets the tone for my entire day, and it becomes hard for me to find that place of connection with the Lord to actually walk in the Spirit. And so what are our minds set on? We have to make a choice. What am I going to think about? What is going to be my anchor? Is it going to be, you know, what I'm seeing in social media? Is it going to be money? Is it going to be the fun things that I'm going to do? Is it going to be the security I have in the world? Is it going to be my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my husband or my wife or my kids or whatever it is? Or is it going to be God? How do I set my mind? What are the things of the Spirit? Of course, God, of course, the Trinity, but the fruits of the Spirit: joy, peace, patience, gentleness, humility, the gifts of the Spirit. What am I setting my mind on? And I think sometimes too, with setting our mind on the things of the flesh, gossip. What are we allowing ourselves to say? What are we allowing ourselves to think about other people? You know, the Lord really convicted me and He said, this year, I want you to become again a person that always has something positive and kind to say, and that doesn't always have something negative to say, and that isn't bringing negativity with your speech. And so I began to practice that, and it takes setting my mind on goodness, setting my mind on kindness, setting my mind on joy. What are we setting our minds on? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Sometimes it can even be a slow death when we're just like getting drained of life by what we're thinking about, by what we're setting our mind on, and we're slowly going into this spiral of being drained of who we truly are. And so the result of that is death, but the result of setting your mind on God is life, eternal life, and a life that is full here, a life that doesn't mean it's lacking suffering, it doesn't mean it's lacking trials, but life. Some of you need life breathed into you, the supernatural life of God, to say, have some passion about the life God has put before you, have some excitement about what God is asking you to do, even if it's the same thing every single day, that God wants to breathe His supernatural life in you. And so friends, set your mind, because you've been set free from the power of sin and death, set your mind on life, set your mind on the Spirit, which is life and peace. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.